Well, unless you grew up in a denomination that focused on Lent, Lent may seem a bit of a word that is confusing to you. But we're in what we call the season of Lent. The church established the season of Lent, and Lent somewhat follows a 40-day period, similar to the 40 days that Christ shared in the wilderness prior to beginning his ministry. So a little bit of understanding about Lent. We remember Lent and we prepare to celebrate what we call Holy Week. That week when we recognize that Christ did so many things, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, the cross, and gloriously the resurrection for all of us. Last week we focused and we remembered the cross and how we are made right with God by the actions of Christ on the cross. This morning I invite you to consider God's word again in the book of Luke and to remember that Jesus had a mission. And that mission continues through his wholehearted followers today. In the book of Luke, we find an event in Jesus' ministry here on the earth that took place a little earlier in his ministry. He had returned to his home and he goes to the synagogue and he teaches from the word of God in Isaiah. The mission is important for his followers to understand, meaning it's important for us to understand here as followers of Jesus Christ this morning. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds, open our hearts to the truth of God's word to us this morning from the book of Luke. Let's pray. Gracious God, wake us up. Wake up our minds and our hearts. Help us to receive the nourishment, the truth, the rain from heaven that refreshes today. God, I pray everything I share is faithful and true to your word. I pray that you would be the teacher here, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, that you would inspire us to live in remembrance of what you did on Holy Week and to live in what we have to do today. And I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're in the book of Luke. We're going to be in the fourth chapter. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21. It'll be up here on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along there and listen with your heart and your mind to the word of God to you this morning. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Remember his mission. Can you see in the portion of Scripture that we read in Luke this all-encompassing point that Jesus is about people? He's about people. And I'm going to invite you to consider five different ways that you see in the Scripture that Jesus fulfills His mission by relating to people. And as we remember Jesus' mission, I pray that you will open your hearts to remember that His mission is your mission. The focus of Jesus' mission is described in verses 18 and 19. Here Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." First, Jesus' mission is to preach the good news to the poor. Now, let's have some clarification here and some understanding about preaching the good news to the poor. Jesus is not saying that He has come to sit down the folk and lecture them. Are you with me? He's not saying, "Okay, come in. I'm going to now lecture you on your poverty." He is not going to speak at long length to them about what they're doing wrong in their life. That's the Holy Spirit's job, okay? He's not going to tell them, "Okay, now if you want to get straightened up, these are the things that you should do to change." This is important because sometimes, and some people have this image presented of Jesus that He is simply a great teacher. Boy, He was smart. Okay? He had a lot up here, okay? And He was just a really good teacher. What we need to understand here is that Jesus ministered to people. He related to people. Jesus knew that people might not hear what He said, but He also knew they would see what He did. Are you with me? They may not hear what He says, but they will see what He does. That's an important lesson for us to remember when we consider preaching the good news to the poor. Jesus related to people from all walks of life, from wealthy tax collectors to blue-collar fishermen, to beggars on the street, to religious teachers, to children, and even Jesus related to His enemies. Oh my goodness. It's not an outward appearance. It's not a financial status or a political or religious position that Jesus Christ is concerned with. Jesus always looks inward at people, no matter what their position in the world. Jesus sees that no matter what they do, where they come from, how they live, there is a poverty of the soul for all people. All of us are poor. And you know what? Jesus looks at the heart. Jesus knows that every person is poor in one way or another. It might be physical. Without Him, it's definitely spiritual. It might be emotional. It might be mental. It might be social. And you know what Jesus does? He offers the good news. He offers us good news. He offers to any person good news, any person that is willing with their ears and their heart to listen to those words. In fact, he offers a peace that is beyond our human understanding, beyond what we can reason, beyond what we can understand, beyond what we can know. Jesus offers that kind of peace. So he preaches the good news to the poor. And all of us are poor. Second, Jesus' mission, as he relates to you, is to heal the brokenhearted. When your heart is broken, there is always that sense that no one in the world understands how broken your heart is. There's a sense that no one cares about how broken your heart is. And when hearts are broken, I've heard people say, "Why did God do that to me?" There's deep brokenness. There is deep pain. Or how could God let that happen to me? You know, I think we all have had those moments when our hearts were broken. The point to grasp in this portion of Scripture of what Jesus brings to us, the point to grasp and the point to share is that Jesus understands broken hearts. He absolutely understands beyond what any other human on this earth could understand about your broken heart. He can relate to your broken heart. He knows what it's like to be abandoned by those that said they would follow him anywhere. He knows what it's like to be abandoned by family, by friends, by followers that said, "Yeah, we believe, we trust, we'll follow you anywhere." Jesus knows what it's like to have his heart broken and to be let down. He understands rejection. He understands loss. He understands the pain of death. He understands the death of others, and he understands even his own death. And because he understands, Jesus wants to heal your broken heart. Healing a broken heart isn't always an instantaneous event. Sometimes it is. I've known people that their hearts were broken. Jesus spoke to them and it was like, "It's okay, you fixed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My heart was broken and in a moment he spoke and I was healed." But it isn't always an instantaneous event. Jesus wants to heal in the whole way. And sometimes the whole way takes time. But a person, any one of you willing to keep going to the great physician can have your heart healed. You have to keep going to him. You have to keep going back. You have to continue to go back. He'll heal. He understands. He can heal your heart. Thirdly, this morning, Jesus' mission is to bring deliverance to the captives. What we see clearly in the Scripture is that the greatest thing that holds us captive is sin. Okay? It's so strong. Sin has got such a grasp, such a grip, such a hold that even some folks that have believed and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior still have a hard time with that grip on their lives. the grip of sin, the guilt of sin, even after they have received Jesus, oftentimes that grip, if you find yourself a slave to something that's happened in your past, even if you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that He died on the cross to forgive you of your sins, that you've received Him again as your Lord and Savior, even if you know that, and there's something in the past that's hanging on to you, it's got a grip on you, Jesus wants to release that grip. He wants to say to the slave owner of you, let go. Jesus wants to untie the knots. He wants to break the chains that hold you. He has come that you might be free. He has come that we might be free. If it is something that you still feel tied up about, admit it. Lord, I still feel tied up here. Turn from it. Know who He is. And ask Jesus to set your heart free from the slave owner. And then, each day. Not on your strength. We know our strength just won't cut it. But by the strength of Jesus to set you free, know and believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to help you take a step that day away from the grip of sin, away from the guilt that has held you in the past, towards the freedom that Jesus alone can offer. And don't forget to encourage others to do the same. We all need that encouragement, okay? We need to be encouraged to step away from that guilt and that sin. Fourth, remember Jesus' mission is to give sight to the blind. What we can understand in the Scripture is that before you give your life to Jesus, you are spiritually blind. Before you give your heart to Jesus, and Jesus forgives you, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you are spiritually blind. And this is an important aspect to understand and to remember as you know and as you share Jesus with others. Satan, the presence of evil in this world, has blinded the minds and the hearts of those who don't believe. So we need to have compassion upon them because they are blind. They are unable, without the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts, they are unable to see the good news and the freedom of Jesus. They're blind. You know what I've read over the years, and I hear from many people saying things like, you know what? People in the church, they just don't relate to my needs. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus relates to their needs. And that's His mission, to help them see. And it's also our mission. It's ours to help them see. Remember what Paul writes. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Jesus wants to open their eyes that they might see. He wants to heal their hearts that they might see. He wants to give sight to the blind so that they can understand, so that they can respond to God, so that they can have a restored relationship with Almighty God, their Creator. And He purchased it at the cross. He purchased it at the cross. Jesus wants you to live by faith and see that there's hope for now, and for tomorrow and for eternity. Jesus wants you to see, open your eyes, open your heart, and see that there is hope, whatever it is that you're going through right here and right now. And it's our responsibility to tell others that good news too. Lastly, 5, Jesus' mission is to bring liberty to the oppressed. The focus on this point isn't the word liberty as much as it is on the word oppressed. Are you with me? Are you looking at it? It's not so much focused on liberty as it is on oppressed. The word oppressed could be termed downtrodden. Okay? That's a word from the past that we need to understand and recapture and bring back into our vocabulary today. It could be translated, those who are crushed with life. Are you crushed with life? Do you see people that are crushed with life? I do. Do you? Do you see people that are crushed with life? Do you read about them in the paper? Do you talk to them over the fence as you talk to your neighbor? Do you see it when you check out at Walmart? Do you see them crushed by life? There are a whole lot of people crushed by life. I'm thinking that most of us can identify with that. The point being, Jesus wants to bring liberty to the oppressed. Jesus wants to lift us up from being crushed by life. One of the most significant ways that Jesus does this today is through you. He does it, yes, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He does it through His Word, but one of the most significant ways that Jesus lifts the oppressed in the world today is through you, His church. Jesus relates to you. He understands you. He understands your worries. He understands your hurts, and He wants to lift those burdens off of you. He wants to take that weight off of your shoulder. And He wants to do the same for everyone in this world. It's an important point to remember. Jesus brings liberty. And the oppressed are those that are downtrodden. They are the ones that can't get liberty on their own. And isn't that all of us? What could we do to get liberty from the crushing weight of this world? He's preaching to us. And we're to share that good news with the world in which we live. Jesus had a mission. Will you remember Jesus' mission? And will you continue His mission? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You had a mission. You related to us in all the ways that are the most critical ways that we need. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You have set us free. That You lift the burdens. That You help us see. Lord Jesus, thank You and help us to remember all that You do so that we can continue to carry that message to those that are captive in the world in which we live. And we pray it in Your name. Amen.